Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
My name's Nathan.
My name's Grace.
And you could be engaging with this service at any time of day. And you could be doing it in any kind of way. On Facebook.
On YouTube.
On our church website.
Watching a DVD.
Or listening to a CD. And you could be doing that on your own.
With family.
While walking the dog.
Playing on your phone.
Or while making a meal. And whatever time of day it is, however you're engaging and whatever you're doing at the same time, our belief is the same.
God is with us. God is with me, you, him and everyone.
And we want to listen to God and to live for him.
Now Matthew and Sarah will lead us in song worship.
Oh.
now by an old age talk from Hannah.
Which will be followed by a new children's song from Matthew and Sarah with actions.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
Today we're going to talk about love. I wonder what things you love. Here are some things that I love, and I wonder whether they're the same as you or different to you. First thing I'm going to show you, are you ready? Is chocolate. I love chocolate. There aren't many days that go by where I don't eat some chocolate. I really love chocolate. The second thing I'm going to show you is, are you ready? I don't think you're going to be as excited about this one as I am, but I do love this one. Is Redbush tea. Redbush tea comes from South Africa, which is a place that I really, really love. And it's just such a good cup of tea. If you ever see me with a cup of tea, hopefully it's this. The next thing I'm going to show you is a picture of my teddies. Here is Hamley and Curly. And they have been my teddies since I was a really little girl. And I love them so much. There's been, I've used to dress them up. I used to take them everywhere with me. I'd cuddle them at night. And yeah, there just wasn't a moment when I wasn't without them. They used to come on trips with me. And I remember taking Hamley on a school trip with me. I love my teddies. And the final thing I'm going to tell you about is my family and my friends. Here is a picture of my family and here is a picture of my friends. They are some of the people who I've known the longest and know me the best, and I love them dearly because of those things. Now, I thought about showing you how much I love these things, and I was trying to work out how I could do that. And so I've got some containers that might help you to see how much I love these things. So when I was thinking about the chocolate and my Redbush tea, I got a container like this. This is a big yogurt container. This is how much I love chocolate and Redbush. Imagine this full up with water. Okay. Now my teddies, I love my teddies a lot more than the chocolate and the Redbush. And the chocolate and the teddies, I decided that I loved them this much. Imagine this full of water. It's like nearly the size of my head. That feels like a lot of water. I love them a lot. And my family, well, I couldn't find something that I could carry because it just wasn't big enough. So here is what I found to show you how much I love my mum and my dad and my family and my friends. I couldn't find a local swimming pool to jump into, so this will have to do. This is how much I love my friends and my family. This got me thinking about how much God loves us. I love tea that much, or my family that much. How much did God love us? Well, I looked around my house and I couldn't find anything big enough. So here is an image that I think just about justifies how much he loves us. It doesn't compare. The Bible tells us that love is an action. And that's what we're going to hear a little bit more about from Peter today. It's not just a cozy, loving feeling. It's something that we have to act out. When we have God in our hearts, when we receive his love, all of it. But the Bible says we can't just hold on to it and keep it for ourselves. We have to share it out with those around us. I want to show you today something of how it's a blessing when we love others, as well as blessing that other person. So, here is, if I can get it, a piece of paper that has God's love. It's so big, I can't quite get myself on it, on the screen. This is God's love, and it's got four corners. 1, 2, 3, 4. And if I were to give you one of my corners, I wonder how many corners would be left. So we have a go. I've got a pair of scissors. I'm going to cut one of the corners. Mind my fingers. Okay, I've cut the corner. How many corners have we got left? Let's count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's strange. Let's try it again. Ooh. Let's do it this way. 1. Okay. I'm going to give you it this time. Here you go. Here's God's love. How many corners do we have now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Every time I give a bit of God's love away, it multiplies. There are more corners to give. I could cut this corner off and give that to you. And then I could cut this corner off and give that to someone else. You might be asking, how do we share the God's love? Well, the passage, I'm not sure my mum's going to be all that pleased if I just give her a piece of paper. The Bible tells us, and the passage from today tells us, that we are to be hospitable. Maybe we should give our mums a cup of tea instead. Or we could invite our friends over to play with us when it's safe to do so. Love is an action, and God gave us the ultimate action when he sent his son to come and live among us and then ultimately die for us. All of these things shows God's love. It's a doing word, so let's get doing. Amen.
In Ephesians 3 verse 18 and Romans 8 verse 38, they talk about the love of Christ, the love that is so talk about the love of Christ.
Beautiful actions, everybody.
Chris is going to pray.
Sue will be doing our Bible reading.
Peter will be doing the sermon.
Let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We worship you, O God, praise you, and uphold your name above all the names. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Thank you, God, for allowing us into your presence to glorify you. For you, O Lord, you are our righteousness. Forgive us, O Lord, for all the failings and shortcomings in Jesus Christ's name. In the face of the pandemic world over, O God, we pray that the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the home of my salvation, my stronghold. We call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and we be saved. May you, O God, heal those affected and strengthen all those caring for them, granting them faith and hope. I pray for each one of us, O God, your children. Grant us your deep love to save others, to bring the lost to your fold, and much more, to be holy vessels of use in your hands. May you bless this service online, touch our hearts, and anoint us with your Holy Spirit. May you grant us your presence in our homes as we worship you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the whole of the chapter. Now, about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. When Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now, about our brother Apollos. I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on them. Come, O Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Wow. When Christians think about the theme of love, and when they think about the book of 1 Corinthians, almost certainly they will turn to 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's great chapter on Christian love. And it may be that you are not so familiar with Christian things, or maybe you are feeling your way back into Christianity and the life of the church, but almost certainly you too know this chapter. It's often read at weddings. One of the recent ones has been Prince Harry's wedding to Meghan Markle. It's a great chapter about love. It is profound and it's powerful. The language sings and it soars. If we want to love well, if we want to love as Christ loves, absolutely we need 1 Corinthians 13. By contrast, our passage today, 1 Corinthians 16, seems much more humdrum and mundane. At first sight, it doesn't really seem to have much going for it at all. This is a very surface reading of the text, you'll understand, but it just seems a bit of a PS, a bit of a postscript, almost a bit of a damp squib. Paul talks about financial giving. He shares his tentative travel plans. He talks about different Christian workers that he knows. It does seem on the surface to be a bit of a letdown after the main event. But I have a deep conviction, having wrestled with this wonderful chapter, and that conviction is this: if we are going to love well, love that is God-honouring, Christ-shaped and Spirit-inspired, then we need both chapters. Not just 1 Corinthians 13, but 1 Corinthians 16 as well. Because in the second chapter, the final chapter of Paul's letter, we see love fleshed out. We see love in action, in earthy, specific situations, in the concrete reality of the everyday. If we want to love, not in word only, but also in deed, we need both chapters. We need chapter 13, absolutely, but also we need chapter 16. So let's plunge into this. I do believe it's really exciting. I hope you catch some of my excitement as we go through this. Just a few things in fairly short order today. The first thing is that we are to show our love through financial giving. Seems very earthy, very real, very everyday, and indeed it is. But it is so vital. It is a vital expression of Christian love. We see that written out for us in verses 1 to 4. And Paul gives some real nitty-gritty practical details as to what to do. In particular, he mentions two things. Their giving is to be planned. So he speaks here of weekly giving. And it's to be proportionate to their income. Giving that is planned and giving that is proportionate. Not going to say too much about this today, but I do want to encourage you. It's been really good over the last few weeks to work with our finance team to get the reports. If you are listening to this in real time on the Sunday, then we have a church meeting on Thursday, which I warmly encourage you to come to via Zoom. And we will receive a challenging but a very encouraging financial report. Thank you to all of those who continue to give across our church. Thank you to those of you who have increased your giving. Because of that, if God so leads us, we are able financially to make a new appointment to our staff team. And I just want to challenge you and myself, as well as encouraging, that as we look at this, we should be prompted just to look at our giving again if we can. And I want to throw out a specific challenge from the text that may be especially relevant to some of you. Sometimes we give in very haphazard ways. If we have some money, then we give. If we've got some money on us and we're in a physical service, then we give. But planned giving is something that we've never got around to. It's not systematic. It's not weekly. It's not monthly. This text, these verses, really challenge us by the power of the Holy Spirit to press into that and to know the joy of cheerful and systematic financial giving. So there's a little challenge that I throw out to you. Has this got anything to do with love? Actually, it's got everything to do with love, because as we give, we show our love in practical ways. That's the first thing, Christian love shown in financial giving. Also, we have commitment to God's work as an expression of love. So commitment to God's work. Just want to read through to you again, verses 8 and 9. These are so striking. Paul is talking about his travel plans and he says this: I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. That's an extraordinary final line, isn't it? There are many who oppose me. He's going to stay at Ephesus nevertheless. Just turning it around, we see, yeah, there are many who are opposing Paul in Ephesus. Okay, so he's going to move on. No, he's going to stay. He's going to press through this opposition. I think many of us, when we are opposed in this way, when there is persecution, when there is difficulty, when the going is tough, we have a tendency to see it, oh, you know, it's time to move on. It's time to give ourselves to something else. But not the Apostle Paul. He is willing to stick with it and press through the difficulties because of his passion for God, because of his love for people, and because of his heart for mission. And then later on, he mentions the household of Stephanas. He picks this up in verse 15, and he talks about their devoted service to the Lord's people. And it's very clear as we dig into this that this has been going on a long time. It's not service for a bit. It's not flash in the pan service. For these people were the first converts in Achaia. And from that day onwards, they have been dedicated servants of God's people. Again, the message is the same. They are committed to God's work. They are loving, and then they're loving again and again and again. Not just a day, not just a month, not just occasionally, not just a few years, but on and on and on, despite opposition. The household of Stephanas are described as giving themselves not just to work, but to labour. And that's a hard word, a tough word. It's not been easy for them, but they have continued to love through the difficulties. I just sense that this may be a special word to a number of people today, to press on with love through the hard times, to press on with Christ-shaped love, following the example of the Lord Jesus when it is difficult to do so, when there is opposition, when it would be easy to move away, when it would be easy to give up. Press on with the hard task of loving. A number of years ago, this is before I came to Leeds, I was in a particular context which was incredibly challenging and stretching and, to be honest, very tough. But it was also proving extremely fruitful as a number of really tough things got straightened out. And at that time, an accountability group that I'm part of, one of the members gave me a word from God. And this doesn't happen all the time with me. And occasionally it happens and someone gives me a word and I discern and say, well, I don't think so. I can't quite see that. This is one of those things that was challenging, but for me was just so obviously from God. And it stayed with me. And the picture was of me with a machete hacking my way through a rainforest. So this very dense jungle, lots of leaves, lots of vegetation, all sorts of stuff hanging down, tree trunks, difficult going underfoot, really, really tough. And it was hard going and I was hacking my way through this. And my friend Heather said, I think this is a picture of you at this time. It's hard going, but it's also fruitful. The vegetation is verdant. It is dripping with moisture. There is rain, there is life, there is growth. God is blessing what you're doing, but it is hard. I remember that at a number of points in my ministry, and I'm thankful for that word. And I just sense today, as I've prayed about this, as I've reflected on this, that maybe God is calling me to pass this on to people who are listening, people who are engaging with God's word. For you in your place of work, in your family life, in your ministry, it's really, really tough going. It's like you're hacking your way through a rainforest. It's painful. It's slow. It's trouble underfoot, trouble ahead of you. You've got stuff falling on your head. It's really, really hard. And yet it is fruitful. The vegetation is lush, it's verdant, it's green. God is blessing what you're doing, and the call is to press on in the hard task of love. It was so tough in Ephesus, but Paul realized that despite that toughness, despite that opposition, it was God's calling for him in ministry. There was an open door for ministry for him. The household of Stephanas, they had given themselves devotedly to Christian service, and sometimes it had seemed like hard labour, and yet they had persevered, and Paul commends them for it. Persevere in the hard task of love. And there's one final point before we move on. And that point is commitment to one another as an expression of love. In the very final words that Paul gives, the final greetings, we see him showing love to those that he knows and encouraging them to show real love to one another. It struck me in this time of lockdown and Zoom how tactile this is. Warm greetings are sent. There is greetings given to Aquila and Priscilla and the church that meets at their house. They are greeting the Corinthians warmly. And you think of a house church like this, we might think of a small group meeting in a home. This is likely to have been a much bigger affair, a large house, but with people pressed in, jostling, greeting one another. There's godly sort of pushing and shoving and greeting and hugging. It's something very tactile, something very, very real about this. And then we get greet one another with a holy kiss. Obviously, we can't do that now. J.B. Phillips, the old Bible translator, rendered this as greet one another with a hearty handshake. Not his finest hour. It's a bit too polite and middle class and English. It doesn't really reflect the text. But now we can't even do that. And it's frustrating. I pray that soon there will be a time where we can greet in this way again and know the joy of face-to-face, person-to-person, physical worship and mission and ministry. It is what God has called us to. May we return to it in the future with a real passion. But also let's remember that we can love now. Not a holy kiss, not even a hearty handshake, but we can do a Zoom wave. We can have a cup of coffee with someone over Zoom. We can wave at people through a window. We can go for a walk in the park. We can love and serve people in different ways. Just as I bring this to a close, I want to talk very briefly about Cheryl and my wedding experience that was very different. There wasn't the physical coming together of many, many people in a church service celebrating with us. Our family weren't there, our friends weren't there, our church family wasn't there with us, and that was sad. And yet you showed us tremendous love, nevertheless. I have a few cards here to show. This one is from the Yorkshire Baptist Association. So that's very exciting. This has arrived today together with these flowers. They're so heavy, I can hardly lift them up. So we got loads and loads of flowers from different people. We are so grateful. Other cards from people. This is from the children's small group. I don't know if you can see that there. That's fantastic. And Ruth Hughes and Gideon Fairhall sent that through to us. Thank you very much to the children's small group. This is from the Shipleys, Nathan leading our service today. This has been written by Grace, at least that's what I'm assuming from the handwriting. It also came with some confetti. That was really lovely. So many other lovely things. Yeah, no holy kiss, no hearty handshake, no big meeting with all sorts of people, but flowers and gifts and cards and messages of love. I probably shouldn't say this as a Baptist minister, but we won't be buying any Prosecco for a while because we actually got rather a lot. We are so grateful. Different ways of showing Christian love. Let's love one another in these days. Holy kiss, well, it's not really possible. Hearty handshake, even that is ruled out. But other things are very much possible. Let's show this love in these days, practically and really. Do we need 1 Corinthians 13? Absolutely we do. If we are going to love in God-honoring ways, shaped by Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we need 1 Corinthians 13, but also we need the practical outworking that is 1 Corinthians 16. Let's put it into practice in the power of the Spirit in the days ahead. Going to have a very, very short sort of takeaway section. And what I want to do is just ask three questions relating to the three points that I've made. And so I just encourage you to be quiet. You might want to bow your head. You might want to open your hands before God just as you sit or stand. And let me just leave these questions with you for reflection. How can we give this week? Financial giving as the main focus, but other ways of giving too. Perhaps the prompt is just to continue as you are, and God says, well done. But it may be that God is moving you from haphazard giving to planned giving. Take that step now. Don't put it off. And you make your vows before God and then put them into practice. That is the first question. Secondly, how can we persevere in love this week? Perhaps you're giving up on love. Perhaps you're giving up on a colleague, on a situation, on a family member, on a neighbour, on a friend. Henri Nouwen calls us to be wounded healers, continually reaching out in love. We think of the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, to love and not to count the cost, to give and not to heed the wounds, to labour and not to seek for any rest, save that of knowing that we do God's will. Of course, in following Christ, in loving like Christ, there is great reward. So, Lord, help us to persevere in love. Help us to keep on hacking through the rainforest, knowing that in following your way, there is great reward. And the final question today, how can I love sisters and brothers this week? Sadly, not a holy kiss, sadly, not even a hearty handshake, sadly, not a church that is meeting in buildings, jostling together, and yet in these times, it's even more important to love. It's even more important to reach out. As we sit and reflect, perhaps God is prompting you about one person, one situation that he wants you to move into this week. Or maybe it's something that's ahead and you don't yet know that it's around the corner, but God will prompt you when it arrives. May he fill you afresh with the Holy Spirit and give you power to love. How can we give this week? How can we persevere this week? How can we love this week?
Always loving.
Almighty then.
We hope you've enjoyed engaging with our online service.
If you are watching on Sunday morning, we are moving on to Zoom,
where there'll be a question and answer time with Hannah that will help us as a church as we discern whether she'll join our staff team. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And God bless.
Nothing can separate